finding someone that you connect with as a mentor, and then asking current students, asking for references and asking them the questions as to where you are right now and where you want to get to and how you think that person can add value to your life. Because it's not just money that you're investing, it's time.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors, find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategy. I'm Taran Shum, and in this episode on Property Investory, we continue the conversation with passionate business lender Mark Heritage, who will divulge his strategy for building his investment portfolio to over 30 properties. But first, we'll discover more about the mindset which propelled him to greater heights in his business, and how investing time is just as important as investing money. So, what initially held him back from investing into property?
I think we all ask ourselves, well, what's holding you back? And a lot of it's the values that have been instilled in us from a young age. It's the colleagues at work that tell us that, it's not a good idea. It's the parents in the back of your mind sort of saying, well, you know, don't do this or don't do that. So it's all those aspects coming to the fore now, where it feels like, although we may be educated and we are surrounding ourselves with good people, that we feel paralyzed and we actually haven't taken a step. Well, we feel like we're taking a step where we've made a phone call to have a conversation with an expert. But the next stage is the fear, where we're reading too much through newspaper articles, we're listening to the media, we're envisaging a major catastrophe that's going to chew up and take all my money, these types of things. So I think it's just that the paralysis and fear factor that it definitely stops people from doing anything, although they may be in a position to do so. They're the ones that look back and will realize in 12 months' time that there may have been a correction, there may not have been a correction, and what opportunities have they missed. So definitely having the right mindset and being positive through that, to realize that there are opportunities in every marketplace. You've just got to have the right people on board, and you've just got to trust in the process and continue to ask the right questions to be sure in your own mind that this is a journey that you need to start if this is what's important to you and your future and your family.
When searching for the right people to help him in his property investing journey, Heritage made a point of attending relevant events, asking important questions, and connecting with the like-minded people.
There's a lot of boot camps, there's a lot of seminars, these types of things. And I went along to those. And at this stage, for me, the best experience I had was actually going to those types of events and meeting people of like mind. And some were current students, others weren't. They were just there for the experience and seeing what they could benefit from. And for me, it was about asking current students the questions. It was about, well, what are you doing? What have you benefited from? What would you change about, your decision to actually invest in this course? So getting to their level and asking them as to why should I actually start this journey? And I found that a lot of people that were current students would say, look, if I had my time over again, I wouldn't do it. Or I found that I was taken for a bit of a ride, or, I didn't get the support later on that I expected, and it cost me $5,000. But then there's a lot of good stories where, this is the person you need to speak to. If you want renovation stuff, go and speak to Cherie Barber, conduct one of their courses, associate yourself with like minds, get the templates, get the tools, these types of things, if that's what's important to you. If you want to do development type work, Mark Rolton, these types of guys, there's plenty of people around, and I'm not promoting any particular individual because that's the course that I've done, because that's not what I'm about. I think it's finding someone that you connect with as a mentor, and then asking current students, asking for references and asking them the questions as to where you are right now and where you want to get to and how you think that person can add value to your life. Because it's not just money that you're investing, it's time. So, that's one thing that we cannot give back. So let's do it wisely. Let's invest it smart and make sure that these people are actually doing something for us.
For him, it's essential to source advisors who practice what they preach when talking about investments.
And I always love, Tyrone, to sort of, you know, when I sit down with people and, you know, this is to purchase property, and they'll say, look, my financial advisor suggested this. And financial advisors are fantastic. Do not get me wrong. They are fantastic, and they are much required in people who need to develop a plan, or, you know, get to that sort of stage of their life sooner. But what I find is I always ask, what is your financial planner doing? Why are they suggesting that? You know, they're suggesting you put into a managed fund. Why are they suggesting that? Have you, you know, outlined the benefits of what you're trying to do and where you're trying to get to? Same with your accountant, same with the solicitor. I always love to understand what they're doing today as investors. Are they investors or are they not investors? And some may be and some may not be, and that's not good or bad. It's about getting an understanding whether they're actively in the marketplace today as investors doing what you want to do. And if so, cool. What are they doing? And asking those types of personal questions, because I've had people come back that have asked the questions and the financial planners have you know, they've owned their own principal place of residence and that's all they do. You know, and you're wanting to become an active property investor. For me, you've got to find like minds in that field of professionals that can help you and guide you and direct you.
Asking questions also leads into some of the best property investing advice that Heritage has received, which he applies to both his own life and his business.
One of the courses I completed early days is, you know, LMPs is fantastic for asking questions. So questions are the answers, and I get back to that because that's how I like to base my business now, to understand not just my clients and where they want to get to and their investment strategies, but also through the process of acquiring property or putting transaction deals together. It's very, very important to be understanding why people want to do what they want to do and why they're coming to you and why they're wanting your services. So through those types of questions on both sides of the coin, as either a buyer of property or an investor or a borrower of money, it's questions are the answers. So continue to ask questions. And if you're not sure what type of questions to ask, be upfront with the individual and say, look, you know, I'm not too sure what questions I need to ask, but I need some help to try and understand this in my world, because as you can appreciate, we're all different. We all learn and relate to each other on different levels. So is there something that you can help me with here? This is what I think I want to do. You know, is that something you can offer? And if so, how? And what have you done about your situation? So I think without confusing it all, I think the questions are the answers is very, very much how I live my life, to learn, develop and grow every day in what I do. And also very important for me conducting business with my clients.
Delving into his strategy around property options and joint ventures, he believes in dealing directly with vendors as it allows him to be flexible and creative.
So effectively an option for us has worked quite effectively because it gives us control of the asset without actually owning it. So we're avoiding stamp duty, capital gains tax, these types of things from a transaction. So legal title doesn't transfer from us, from the vendor to us unless we exercise that option. Now that option can consist of, you know, it can be a 30-day option, it can be a 60-day option, it can be a 6-month, 12-month option, whatever time frame you define and negotiate with the vendor is the actual option deed time frame. So there will be an option fee. You know, for us, there needs to be a deed. So, you know, whether it's a dollar or whether it's $1,000, depending on the situation of the vendor. And once again, it just questions are the answers. You'll understand the motivation of the vendor. A lot of times we work with agents that aren't too sure of the situation of the vendor because they don't ask the questions. They're just there to sell the property, and that's okay. That's what they're employed to do. But when you get to the level of understanding the motivation, sometimes there's some flexibility around getting the result. And dealing with the vendors directly is a really powerful method or strategy for investors looking to do something in property, because it can be quite creative. And whether it's an option or whether it's a joint venture deal with the actual vendor looking to sell the property, it can be as simple as, you know, like we've done in the past, is instead of an option deal, we go in and do a joint venture with the actual vendor who's looking to sell. We'll spend our money, our capital, we'll protect that with a caveat. And basically upon sale of the property, we've increased the value to a certain point. So above a certain level, which we'll agree on a price before we start. As an example, it might have been $300,000 before we started our renovation. We'll spend a certain amount, say in this case $10,000, and the property sells for $340,000. You know, the vendor is getting their first $300,000. They're paying the actual agent's commission and the marketing costs. We've put in $10,000 and we've profited $30,000 from the transaction. So that's how the joint venture can work and secured against the actual title. But the option is also quite powerful as well. So there's a number of ways in which you can do it creatively with very little money down and controlling the asset without actually owning. But the option, yeah, definitely a powerful method. You need to be mindful that different states have different laws around options and stamp duty and these types of things. So that's up to the individual to consider at the time or seek advice out. But for us, it's always been the best method or strategy to invest, because often we've done it with none of our own money. And particularly in the case of the API article, that was none of our own money. That was all investor cash put into the deal. And all it was our negotiations and our time required to extract that outcome.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve further into an example of the strategy he's used.
It was an unencumbered property, so there was no debt, so no mortgagees, which is fantastic because you're not dealing with anybody.
What personal habits have contributed to his success?
Now, for me, it was a book called The Slight Edge, which really changed the way I started to think. And for me, the personal development journey is crucial to my growth and my learning and my development, just personally as well as in business.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, podcast listeners, are you enjoying listening to these stories and want more? Then head over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property case studies that I only send exclusively via email. Just one of the many benefits of being part of this community. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply visit propertyinvestory.com to get your free case studies. Now back to the show. Using this strategy in a property deal he managed required him to put himself in the vendor's shoes, discovering their motivation and discovering what was involved.
If I go back to the Adelaide, South Australian deal we completed at the end of last year, it was an option deal where the client was in distress. It was an unencumbered property, so there was no debt, so no mortgagees, which is fantastic because you're not dealing with anybody. It's just council rates that were behind schedule and a property that was in desperate need of some attention. Now, the agent come through, we're just going to get his opinion on selling the property as is. He said, I can't sell it as is. It's too dilapidated. The place needs to be cleaned and I can't even sell this as a renovator's delight because there is no running water, there's no power, there's no anything like that. So we needed to get it to that point. So we thought, well, what's the timeline required to do that? You know, maybe 2 to 4 weeks. So we thought if we get in and do that in 2 to 4 weeks, how long is it going to take us to sell? We thought, well, if we auction it, maybe a month marketing campaign, you know, 30, 60, 90 day settlement. Within 6 months, we're going to have an outcome for everybody involved. So we decided to put forward a 6 month option. We had that signed off by the vendor with an option fee of $5,000. And where we use the option fee as a good example of negotiations is we understood the situation of the vendor. We knew the motivation and what they needed there and then, and that was to move out, find another property so they could rent, pay their first month's rent, their bond, et cetera, get back on their feet, furniture, et cetera. So we thought, well, how much is going to be required to do that? So we did some sums. We worked with the vendor and thought, well, if we put forward $1,000, is that going to get them where they need to get to? No, it's not. But we found that there was more bargaining room on the option price to purchase the property if we increase the option fee up front, which ultimately comes off the option price. So we thought if we were offering, you know, say $1,000 initially on a $65,000 option price, we thought, well, if we increase that option price, so option fee to $5,000 up front, that gives us a little bit more negotiation room potentially to see how open they are. So all of a sudden we come down to $60,000 option price, which is just building more and more profit into the transaction for us. Now, this is a, you know, this is slightly below land value, but we're factoring in demolition costs, everything like that. We're not just focused on land cost as is. You know, the building's got to come down. Someone's got to pay for that. So we're not paying a premium for a dilapidated property just based on land value. It's got to be all cleaned up. So that may cost us $20,000, $30,000 in some cases. We don't know what's involved. So we'll negotiate all those aspects in to whatever deal we're looking at the time, if those types of demolitions are required.
This means that the $5,000 option fee goes straight to the vendor.
And that basically is negotiated. That comes off the option price. So the balance in 6 months is $55,000. And what we also thought at good faith is that if at any point during the process of the option period that the vendor needs a maximum of $1,000 at different stages, you know, up to a month, $1,000 a month, we will advance those funds to ensure that they're accommodated for. You know, there's no shortfall on rent or anything like that from whatever other income they have, and everything is hunky-dory with the vendor. We're doing what we need to do to, you know, maximize our return on the project. So everybody's accommodated for and everybody's happy, and we build all those costs into the actual renovation.
Yeah, it's a win-win situation there.
It's a win-win situation, and that's very important for us, is that understanding the motivation and what's needed from the vendor's perspective up front, we can then determine if it's going to work for us or not.
Talking about the personal habits that have contributed to his success, fitness and health is a significant part of what motivates him, as well as striking a balance between his work life and his personal life.
And we all have different habits, and some, you know, we recognize but don't know how to change, or we start on the way to, you know, trying to modify that behavior or that habit. Now, for me, it was a book called The Slight Edge, which really changed the way I started to think. And for me, the personal development journey is crucial to my growth and my learning and my development, just personally as well as in business. So for me, it's the morning meditation ritual where I get up and I practice meditation, because I do have to practice it. I'm no different to anybody else. It's not yet part of everyday activity for me, although I'm working towards that becoming part of who I am, or as you mentioned, a habit. So that's a work in progress for me. Just to clear the mind, get all the positive energy flowing through my body, and that way, once I'm fully engaged with every ounce of energy I can extract from the universe, I'm going to be the best version of me for everybody and anybody I'm associated with that day. So post that, you know, it's getting straight into the work mindset. And that can be, you know, following up emails, documenting my list, and just following through on things, making sure that everything's in control. Now, beyond that, it's, you know, for me, high intensity. You know, people say to me, you look good for your age. And I'm 42 years of age, and I feel as fit as I am when I was playing professional football back as an 18-year-old. And for me, it's, you know, my anti-aging method is high intensity interval training, and I train every day, or mostly mornings, with the balance of nighttime sessions at F45 in Northcote. That's really my outlet, where I can just get into the zone, really work hard on me and my body and my soul, and because I know that is what is going to give me the best form of longevity in my life, as well as a balanced diet of really good intake and really good input of vitamins and minerals and food. So that's that's me in essence. I'm really passionate about health and fitness. I'm really passionate about people, you know, improving their current state, regardless of how good or how dire that is right now, but also just developing that positive mindset, because once they do that, they'll see clarity and they'll be able to make some decisions which will catapult them into not just a better person, but a financially better place longer term.
So what is Heritage excited about today?
I'm really excited today because, you know, I've got up, I've done my ritual, I've done my meditation, I've, you know, been to a 9:30 gym class. I've got the opportunity to share my story and meet a fantastic person as yourself who's there to add value to other people's lives. I've got a client catch up shortly with a guy that's really emotionally connected to this property, and I'm providing some logic around that to help develop his skill set and mindset around one of the biggest investments people will make in their life. So we'll have some lunch and we'll talk about that, and we'll look at the pros and cons and the whys and the why nots, and, you know, we'll develop a plan together. So I'm really excited about shedding some light and adding value to someone else's life today, and you know, just building tomorrow, you know, more clients and another meetings with new people. And that's what will help me grow, not just a personal development journey, but also the interaction with great people. And that's what I'll continue to source and investigate, you know, for many, many years to come, because I'm really invested in my future self.
If you'd like to connect with Mark Heritage, you can do so by...
If they wish to connect with me, they're more than welcome to send me a friend request, a private message on Facebook, Mark Heritage, or they can get on my website, which is yougrowinvestments.com.au. That's Yougrow investments.com.au. And we're in the process of developing the Vista Property Buyers, buyer's advocate aspect of our business. So that'll be something that will be in the pipeline and more formalized in the coming months. Up until that point, we can still continue to do work with clients as we have been doing for the last few years on a more personalized level, but we'll grow that business substantially in the coming months.
Thank you to Mark Heritage, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you want to hear more about his journey, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com. Simply type in the search bar, Mark Heritage, and select that episode to learn more about his story. Also, I would love to hear from you. If you own property and want to share your story, send me an email to hello@propertyinvestory.com. To spell property investory, simply type the words property investor with the letter Y. Alternatively, you can open the description of this episode in your player and click on the link to contact me. Thanks for listening.